Welcome to Daily in the Word. Hi, this is Kerry Schmidt, Director of Striving Together Publications. If you're interested in biblically sound and practically relevant resources for spiritual growth, I invite you to visit strivingtogether.com. At Striving Together, we're laboring every day to produce books, curriculum, music, and local church resources that will encourage and equip believers to live their faith. From all over the globe, we're hearing stories every day of how God is changing lives through these resources. Striving Together is committed to conservative biblical doctrine and values, and we're committed to supporting local church ministry. Visit us today at strivingtogether.com or call toll-free 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. So many people in this world are striving to recover from addictions, from past abusive situations, and even from the consequences of bad decisions. Does this describe you or someone that you love? Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study with Dr. Paul Chappell, Recovery with God. Stay with us. So many people in our world are in the process of recovery. So many of us have been hurt. So many of us have made bad decisions that have led to difficult and painful, long-lasting consequences. So many of us have faced abusive situations where somebody in our past did something or even continually did something that dramatically impacted our lives. And yet others are struggling with substance abuse, like alcohol or drugs. Well, maybe someone you know is dealing with one of these things. Whatever the need, recovery, authentic, lasting, life-changing recovery from the inside out, truly does begin with God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the preaching, the teaching, the encouragement of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series presently is entitled Recovery with God. This is an entire series of messages that help take a life from the very beginning of life with God through a process of restoration and growth and true, lasting, authentic life change. I'll tell you in a moment how you can download this entire series and maybe give it to a friend, or you can listen to recent broadcasts if you're coming into the middle of the program. We would love for this series to touch your life in a very special way. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to this program via a podcast. You can listen to recent programs or download them and listen to them later. You could pass it along to a friend. There are many other resources on the website that will encourage you in your Christian life and in your walk with the Lord. And there's also a way that you can be a part of the ministry of Daily in the Word. Would you prayerfully consider a monthly contribution to help us cover the costs of airtime and supporting this ministry? Your investment is an investment into the Word of God going into the hearts and lives of people all across the country and even in many foreign countries. Take a moment and visit Daily in the Word and consider joining us in the effort of teaching and preaching the Word of God. Today's message is entitled Endeavoring to Seek Peace in My Relationships. This is a difficult message. This is a tough step, but it's so important when it comes to real recovery. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Here's Pastor Chappell.
Over the past several weeks, we have been discovering scriptural truths related to the subject of recovery. How can we recover from some of the hurts and the sins and the habits that have plagued many of us in our lives? We've seen several different steps along the way to recovery. We saw in our first week that every one of us need to recognize and admit that we have a need for God's help. And then we saw in the second week that we need to experience a meaningful relationship with God. We saw the importance there of receiving Christ as our Savior. And then thirdly, we saw that we need to choose a life of commitment to Christ. If Christ has given His blood for us on the cross, then we need to give our lives to Him in dedication. And then we saw in the fourth week that we need to open our hearts up on a daily basis to God's evaluation of our heart. And we need to say, Lord, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then we saw in the fifth week that when we open our hearts like that to the Lord, we need to volunteer to follow God's changes for our life. When God says, I see that this area needs to be changed and you need to repent of this particular problem or sin, then we need to say, Lord, I'm willing to do that. I want to do what you're showing me in your word. Well, today we're going to learn how to endeavor to seek peace in our relationships. And today we want to focus on one of the key factors of really sustaining progress in the matter of recovery. So oftentimes people will come to the Lord and they're beginning to open up their heart to the word of the Lord. But somewhere along the way, some relationship of the past will plague them. Some unresolved conflict will draw them back into a life of apathy or failure, or even back into a bad habit of drugs or alcohol, because they've never learned how to really deal with the failed relationships of this life. And along the road to recovery, we're going to need to learn how to forgive those who harm us. We're going to need to learn how to make amends for the harm that we have caused in other people's lives, except when doing that would create greater harm in some way. And this morning, we want to focus in on this matter of really endeavoring to seek peace in our relationships with others. Now, first of all, this morning, if we're going to have peace in our relationships with family and with friends and with others, we're going to need to, first of all, learn how to forgive the offenders in our life. How to forgive the offenders. And I want you to turn, if you would, over to the book of Ephesians, just a few pages over in your Bible, to one of the key passages that we've seen in this study on the subject of biblical recovery. The Bible speaks in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, by the way, I might stop there for a moment. How many of us recognize this morning there's a lot of bitter and wrath in this world today? Boy, people at work, people on the freeway, people are just filled with bitterness and wrath. But God says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, God is calling on us as His people to forgive those who have offended us. And He says, I want you to do this on the merit of Jesus Christ, even as God, for Christ's sake, or because of the shedding of the blood of Christ, has forgiven you, I want you to forgive others who have offended you. And so we forgive the offenders in our life for several reasons. First of all, we're to forgive the offender because God has forgiven us. Because God has forgiven us. Colossians 3 and verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. God says, I want you to forgive others because you have been forgiven by me. By the way, how many of you are thankful for the grace and the forgiveness of God today? Boy, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve to have my sins forgiven. But thank God Jesus shed His blood and forgives me of my sin. And based upon His work of the cross, I'm to forgive others who offend me. You know, it's an amazing thing. People who understand forgiveness find it easier to forgive. And so God says, when you have trouble forgiving, I want you to remember that you are forgiven. I want you to remember that I forgave you, and therefore I want you to forgive others. And so we forgive the offender because, first of all, we've been forgiven. Secondly, we forgive the offender because resentment doesn't work. Resentment doesn't work. I'd like you to say that with me this morning. Ready? Begin. Resentment doesn't work. One more time. Resentment doesn't work. Job chapter 5 and verse 2. For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. Wrath killeth the foolish man. Someone that's filled with resentment and bitterness is killing themselves spiritually. They're hurting themselves and they're hurting others around them. In fact, the most unhappy people that I know are people who carry a grudge. People who just walk around ticked off at someone and bitter at someone, and they're hurting themselves, and many times they don't really understand it. You see, nothing will drain you like emotional bitterness. Nothing will hurt you like carrying anger towards someone else. And so God says, I want you to forgive your offender because I have forgiven you. And I want you to forgive your offender because bitterness is just going to hurt you. It's just going to raise up in your own life and cause greater problems later. And then he says, thirdly, I want you to forgive others because you will need forgiveness in the future. I need forgiveness in the future. Now, how many of you understand this principle? How many of you recognize that before sundown tonight, some of us are going to need somebody else's forgiveness? And at least one time between now and dinner time tonight, we're going to need someone else's forgiveness. Or in the case of Brother Furso, maybe several times between now and dinner, he's going to need someone to forgive him. And God says, I want you to forgive others because you need to be forgiven. The Bible says in Mark 11 and verse 25, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. And so we're to forgive because all of us need to be forgiven. I heard a man say one time, don't burn the bridge that you may need to cross. Don't burn the bridge that you may need to cross. And there's a bridge all of us will need to cross in this life, perhaps daily, and that's the bridge of forgiveness. Now, someone might say this morning, all right, Pastor Chappell, I understand God wants me to forgive. He wants me to forgive because I'm forgiven. He wants me to forgive because resentment doesn't work. He wants me to forgive because I'll need to be forgiven. And I want to forgive. But how do you really do that? How does someone really express forgiveness? I want to give you three thoughts this morning, and they may be found in your notes. First of all, in order to forgive, we've got to admit that we've been hurt. We've got to just come to the place of saying, you know what? I didn't like what was said about me. I didn't like the pain inflicted upon me. I didn't enjoy that experience of that broken relationship. Now, many times I've heard people say to me, and they'll say, oh, well, I have forgiven him or I have forgiven her. But the more you talk to them, the more you begin to realize they never did forgive the person. There's still bitterness there. They're still clamoring about the situation. And so when we talk about really admitting the hurt, we're talking about coming to grips with the truth of the matter that we have been hurt and coming to grips with the reality of forgiveness. First, we must admit the hurt. Secondly, we must release the offender. We must release the offender. And by that, I mean let it go. I think about Peter in Matthew chapter 18. Peter came to the Lord on one occasion and he said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Now, I can just see Peter's rationale, something like this. Lord, if I forgive a guy seven times for bothering me, on the eighth time, can I punch him in the nose? Lord, if I forgive a guy seven times, on the eighth time, can I crash his windshield in? How many times do I have to forgive somebody? And you know what Jesus said? He said, I want you to forgive him 70 times seven. He said, Peter, I don't want you to stop forgiving him. It's to be an infinity. It's to be something that goes on and on and on. And you see, the fact of the matter is that if we're going to really understand forgiveness, we've got to admit that we've been hurt. And then we've got to let it go. We've got to let it go on a continual, daily basis until it's completely gone. Now, someone might say, well, how do I know when I've really released this matter? How do I know when I've released the offender? I'll give you one way that I believe to be a good test. When you can hear their name or think about the hurt and it doesn't hurt anymore. When you can hear their name and it doesn't hurt anymore, you're coming to the place of really letting it go. I've got to admit that I've been hurt. I've got to let it go by forgiving continually. I've got to let God deal with the situation. I heard the story of two little boys that were in their backyard playing, and one's name was Johnny, one's name was Bobby, and boy, they were playing army men, and after a while, they got tired of the toy soldiers, and they started playing one against the other and throwing rocks at each other and fighting each other, and boy, they got all scuffed up, and little Bobby came home at the end of the day, and he was bleeding on his face and dirty on his face, and he said to his mom, he said, Mom, I don't ever want to go to Johnny's house again. I don't like Johnny anymore. He plays too hard, and he's not my friend. I'm never going to his house again. Next morning came and he got up bright and early and brushed himself off and grabbed his toys and he headed right back over to Johnny's house. And his mom said on the way, he said, I thought Bobby that you were mad at Johnny. I thought you said you'd never play with him again. I thought he wasn't your friend anymore. And Bobby smiled and he looked at his mom with that sheepish little grin and he said, oh, he said, Bobby and me's good forgetters. But you know, a lot of us aren't very good at forgetting. we remember and we hold and we hold and we hold, and God says, let it go. Let it go. And so how do we forgive? We admit that we've been hurt, and then we let it go. And then thirdly, we replace the hurt with God's peace. We replace the hurt with God's peace, and God can do this by His grace. Colossians 3 and verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. God says, I don't want hurt reigning in your heart. I don't want hate reigning in your heart. I want my peace to reign in your heart. I heard about a young woman who was summoned for jury duty, and she stood before the judge. She said, Judge, she said, I can't serve on the jury. She said, I'm against capital punishment. And the judge said, well, ma'am, this is not a capital charge in this matter. And the judge said, this is a case where a husband emptied out his wife's savings account, and he went to Las Vegas with another woman, and he spent all of the savings there in Las Vegas. And the woman thought about it for a moment. She said, all right, I'll serve. And she said, and I could be wrong about capital punishment too. And that's how a lot of people are, you know. They think they've dealt with something until an opportunity comes up to maybe express some of that anger, some of that unresolved conflict. And that's why we preach the series on recovery. God wants you to hear that name and think of that situation and remember the trial and be able to have His peace flood your soul and His peace carry you on until the next day. And so we need to forgive the offenders. Secondly, if we'll have peace in our relationships, we must be willing to apologize to the offended. Apologize to the offended. Now, this is very important because unresolved relationships prevent recovery. We've got to be willing to go to someone and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, will you forgive me? Now, this step is not an easy step, but it's a vital step. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. God wants us to pursue peace with others. God wants us to be at peace with others, husbands and wives and family members and those at work. Now, I recognize as I speak on this matter of apologizing to the offended that this is not always possible in every case, and it's not always advisable. There are some things from years ago, sometimes better left alone. There's no sense opening more hurt and opening up Pandora's box. But whenever advisable and whenever possible, we need to be willing to humble ourselves to ask the forgiveness of those that we have hurt. Sometimes people are so filled with bitterness that they would resent you or even question your sincerity if you came to apologize. And so you need to be very sensitive to finding the right time in this matter. But how do we apologize to the offended? And where does that all begin as it relates to recovering according to the Word of God? Well, I would suggest to you, first of all, that we need to make a list of those we've hurt. Make a list of those I've hurt. Now, you say, well, what's the purpose of that? The purpose is that we might apologize. And I know some of you are sitting here thinking, well, I don't have a very long list. I'm such a nice guy. Now, I'm sure the guy next to me would have a long list, but I don't have a long list. And some of us might think, well, what's this all about? I don't really know where this is going. Well, let me help you just a little bit. Think about maybe some of these things. A debt you've never paid. A person whom you overly controlled and hurt, maybe in a work relationship or a family relationship. A person you were overly critical of. Someone you physically abused. Someone you lied to. Someone you were unfaithful to. You see, in our lives, all of us are transgressors, and we need to be willing to ask forgiveness of those transgressions. Now, thank God He has already forgiven us, but in the case where we might be helped and where others might be helped by apologizing, as Christians, we need to be willing to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, will you forgive me? Now, they may not forgive us, they may not want to find restoration, but we need to be willing to be Christ-like in the matter. So we make a list. Secondly, approach them in the Spirit of Christ. Approach them in the Spirit of Christ. Luke 6:31, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them." God says it's no big deal to love people who love you. He says you're becoming more like me when you love people that hate you. When you're willing to try to make amends with people you don't even really care for, you're beginning to understand, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, how do you approach someone in a matter like this? And perhaps this week some of you will. How do you go about that? A few thoughts. As you approach a spouse, as you approach a coworker, as you approach a family member, first of all, pray for the right time. Pray for the right time. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 6, "Because to every purpose there is a time and a judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him." To every purpose there's a time. Pray for the right moment. Pray that God will open up the right door. Secondly, go with the right attitude. Go with the right attitude. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." We're to speak the truth in love. And as we go to speak to someone about a difficult matter, bathe it in love and in prayer and with the Spirit of Christ. As you approach them, focus on your part and don't worry about their response. Just determine to be what God wants you to be. You know, I find that many times in approaching someone in a difficult situation like this, the attitude makes the big difference. The attitude determines the altitude. If we go with a sweet spirit, it helps. I heard a man say years ago, "Some people grin and bear it, others smile and change it."
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, presently delivering a series entitled Recovery Together with God. We're discovering how to truly, authentically recover, to heal from past abuse, from difficult decisions and the consequences that we're experiencing, or from addictions. Whatever your struggle, or whatever the struggle of someone you love, this series is a tremendous resource. You can find the entire series at dailyintheword.org. You can download it. You can pass it along to a friend. You can even subscribe to the podcast. I do hope you'll visit dailyintheword.org. You know, we love to hear from our listeners, and your investment, your partnership with us financially into this ministry helps us continue paying for airtime on this station and on stations all over the country. We thank the Lord for the privilege of teaching and preaching the Word of God in your life. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us? Pastor Chappell has just written a new book. It is a powerful book and a tremendous companion to our present series. It's entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, Discovering the Power of the Holy Spirit-Filled Life, a life that is empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Living Beyond Your Capacity is a 200-page paperback book, brand new, right off the press. We've just had it a couple of months. We've been excited to place it into your hands, and we believe it will be life-changing. And we would like to send it to you this month for a gift of any amount to Daily in the Word. If you'll call us, or if you'll go on the website, dailyintheword.org, and click on the Donate tab, we would like to send you this book, Living Beyond Your Capacity, as our gift for your gift of any amount to this ministry. Again, you can do this at dailyintheword.org, or you can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. 1-800-201-7748. This book will change your life, or change the life of the person you give it to, I promise. Living Beyond Your Capacity will be a read that you'll never forget. So call us or visit the website and be a part of this ministry, and let us send you Living Beyond Your Capacity. Before we wrap up our program today, here's a word from Pastor Chappell.
I want to thank you as a listener of Daily in the Word for your prayers and encouragement toward this ministry. We do our very best daily to spread the Word of God across this nation on many different radio stations, including yours. But I'd like to encourage you today to take a moment and visit dailyintheword.org. You'll see some great Bible study helps there. You'll also see a place where you can click to donate toward the ministry of Daily in the Word. We want to keep the Word of God coming to your station and coming into your area. We believe that Jesus is the answer and the Word of God is infallible truth. If you'd like to support us in this great cause, let me encourage you to visit dailyintheword.org.
Find the button that says donate, and we would be grateful for your gift to this ministry.
Well, thank you, Pastor and friend. Don't forget, we're heading to Alaska, August 2011, for our ministry cruise to Alaska. It is an adventure you will never forget. We would love to have you join us on this 7 days of exciting adventure and spiritual growth and tremendous Christian fellowship. You'll find more information at dailyintheword.org. Just click on the Alaska Cruise button. You'll see all of the information there. It is a week that you will never forget. I hope you'll join with us and go to Alaska in August of 2011. Again, for more information about our ministry or to talk to us personally, call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.